name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As you see today, we are blessed by a visit from Abuna Yohanna, who is the head senior priest up in the church in Queens, and you know, is Mark Gergis' father. And Abuna Henna, I tried to get him to give us the sermon, but Abuna, in his kindness and sweetness and humility, Abuna is like what I always say, is like the priest who started the Coptic Church in America. Like, those guys are the heroes, that all of us, all the stuff that we have is based on the work that the few brave souls who will one day be considered martyrs for starting a church. So Abuna is one of those, but in his kindness and humility, he insisted that I give the sermon. So today's sermon, the gospel that came to us today came from Matthew chapter 12, and it is one of the most powerful stories in the gospel. And if the people in the sound room can help me out, I have a little PowerPoint. And if you could turn on that screen for me too, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Sorry, a little technical difficulties. It's one of the most powerful stories in the gospel. The story about a man who was blind, mute, and demon-possessed, and got healed. Blind, mute, and demon-possessed. So when I look at this guy who was blind, mute, and demon-possessed, I see one of the most wretched and hopeless cases in the world. That someone who had nothing going for him whatsoever, blind, mute, there we go, blind, mute, and demon-possessed. And the beautiful thing in this story is in an instant, in one verse, man who was blind, mute, demon-possessed, his life was wretched, hopeless, worthless, was meaningless, was negative, 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 with nothing possibly good. And who knows how many years he had lived in that condition. In one second, in an instant, all is solved. Good picture of how our life in Christ is kind of looks like. Wretched, hopeless, worthless, and then he solves all. But the key to this story came in two verses which came back to back to us. Right after the healing took place, the healing was not the most important thing in the story, because the healing was one of many healings that our Lord did. But here's the verses that I want you guys to see. It was verse 23 and verse 24. After he did the miracle, it says, "And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the Son of David?'" All the multitudes were amazed. Why? Because they saw wretched, hopeless, worthless, good for nothing all his life. And then all of a sudden, wow, amazing. Multitudes were amazed. But there's another group of people who responded a little bit differently. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Two groups of people. First group characterized their response, characterized by the word amazed. They were amazed at what had happened. Second group, not amazed, not impressed. Meh, we've seen better. No one, it's important here, that these Pharisees, who Jesus gives them a good speaking to, okay, he gives them a few words here, okay, as we say in Arabic, a couple of words, kelmatin, okay? He gives them some words, some harsh words right here. They didn't deny the miracle that Jesus had done. They saw the miracle, but to them, that's nice, but he could have done it by a different way. They didn't deny, but they simply were not amazed. I was studying recently in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of St. Mark, and I was looking through the word amazed, or like a variation of the word amazed, which is like astonished or marveled, appears over 40 times in the Gospels. That Jesus did something and the people were amazed. And the people were astonished. And the people were marveled. His entire ministry on earth, when he was preaching, they said he was amazed. I never seen anyone speak like that. When the sinful woman who was caught in adultery, and he came and said, "Okay, I agree she should be stoned, but he was without sin, cast the first stone." They were astonished at the way he spoke. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, everyone was amazed and glorified God. Let me give you a few sampling of verses here about how Jesus amazed people when he was on this earth. Mark chapter 2, verse 12. "Immediately he arose." This is when he healed the man who was the paralytic with the four friends. he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Mark 6:51. This is when he was in the boat and the wind. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Amazed. Mark 9:15. This is when he healed the boy who was the epileptic boy. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. In case you don't like the word amazed, it gets them astonished as well. Mark 1:21. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Mark 7:37. And they were astonished beyond measure. Astonished beyond measure, saying he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Jesus amazed people, astonished people. Does he still amaze you? When was the last time that you ran to your best friend? Says you never believe. Amazing. Amazing what the Lord did today. Woo! When was the last time you sat in your room, you closed all the stuff, you were astonished? When was the last time you came to liturgy in awe of what we're about to partake of? When Jesus was on earth, everyone was amazed. But how about now? Like I said, group was amazed, group was not amazed. Which one more describes you? The word amazed, dictionary.com says, greatly surprised, astounded, suddenly filled with wonder. The word astonished, okay, to fill with sudden and overpowering surprise or wonder. So the key word that's repeated there is filled with wonder. Filled with wonder. Filled with awe. Astonished, amazed. When was the last time that you were amazed? See, my fear is that sometimes we become desensitized. We become desensitized to the amazing work of God in life. Not just in my life and in your life, but in life. That everything here, everything around, go walk around outside, everything is wonder of God. Everything is miracle of God. Everything is created by God, sustained by God. Everything that we talk about, don't we say, when we pray in the liturgy, in the Thanksgiving prayer, 10,000 times, that he has covered us. When was the last time that you were amazed by that? That he has supported us. That he has spared us. I like spared us a lot. How many times you're amazed that he accepts us unto him? How many times you sat in amazement that after all, that he accepts us? Amazing, Lord, you're amazing. Or you become desensitized to the work of God. I'll tell you who's good at being amazed by God, who we could all learn a lesson from. Walk around and look at the short little people that are walking around in your household. Look at the children. Because children are really, really good at being amazed by God. I told this story a couple weeks back in Light and Life about one time I was here in the school. We were talking in the chapel time and the kids. And I talk to the kids every week in the school, okay? So I talk to the older kids and the middle kids. But then, of course, by far the most adventurous times when I talk to the three-year-olds, okay? The 3- and 4-year-olds, I'm telling you, you learn stuff you didn't know before. You come talk to 3- and 4-year-olds, you learn stuff. So we're talking about creation. Talking about how God created everything. Father Anthony, God created everything. God created all the animals, all the everything. Did God create my dog? God created your dog. Did God create my cat? God created your cat. Did God create, like, elephants? God created elephants. God created everything. So the one sharp little guy raised his hand and said, how did God create them? I said, okay. I know the theological answer, but... So the theological answer is, by a word from his mouth. Okay, the heavens and earth were created by the mouth of the Lord. That's what it says in the book of Psalms, and the Bible says that God spoke everything into existence. So I said that God opened his mouth and everything was created. Oh, wow, you mean my dog came out of God's mouth and my cat came out of God's mouth and God must have a big mouth. An elephant came out of God's mouth. Wow, that's the coolest thing. God is so amazing. See how kids are? God is so amazing. Life is simple. God is amazing. And God is full of miracles and wonders. And every single second of our existence is amazement from God. The Bible says, John chapter 5, verse 17, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." That means that God doesn't sleep for a day. So don't tell me at the end of your day that if you walked around all day that God was silent or that God was absent. No. God has been working till this day, and he keeps on working. How could I be so blind so that I could live day after day after day after day and not be amazed by God? How? Like, either God's not working or I'm not seeing. Who thinks God's not working? Very good. You're all right. God is working. Day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, God is working. And he is working and he is working and he is working. And all of creation sees it except us. All of creation sees it except us. And all of creation is in amazement except us. What I want to figure out is how it could be that way. Let's look at the Jews in the story. How could they be so blind? Like, the man was blind, was mute, was demon-possessed. How could they be so blind? How could they, in John chapter 9, to the guy born without eyes, and Jesus healed him, and they gave him a hard time and said, no, this man, we should kill him for what he did. How? How could they be there and see the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and not be amazed? How? Like, how could they be so blind? Important to realize, because many of us might fall into the same category. I think they were blind because they had an agenda. You know what that means? They had an agenda. They woke up with something in their mind that they want to prove is correct. And what I discovered is this mind right here, okay, even mine, may not be the best one out there, but the mind is a very powerful thing. And you can see what you want to see. You can see what you want to see, and you can miss what you want to miss. You can see, if you are looking, like these Jews, they were troublemakers. They didn't want to see the amazing work of God. They just wanted to see him as a bad guy. So easy for them to come and, he should have done this. And, if he'd have done it that way. Easy, because they were looking for it. And anyone who's looking for trouble and looking to criticize and looking to hate on someone, easy to find a million reasons why. And many of us don't have the attitude, the mindset, that is looking for wonders of God. We're bitter about something, and we're looking to validate our bitterness. See? I told you. I knew God wouldn't. See? If God really, he would have. See? In Acts chapter 15, the story that was read to us today was a nice story that came at a time where the church was going through some confusion, shall we say. The church was going through some confusion. Paul and Barnabas had been out and doing wonders and signs and miracles and preaching the gospel to Gentiles. The people back at the mother church, back across the sea, back in Jerusalem, this bothered them a little bit, and they were concerned, they were hesitant, we don't know, and those people are a different culture than us, and our culture is very important to us, and we don't know, and they were hesitant. So the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas were called back to the principal's office. Okay, the mother church said, send for Paul and Barnabas, and bring them back here. So Paul and Barnabas had to come back, and they had to present their case in front of the mother church. And look what it says. Paul and Barnabas, the last verse, it says, then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas didn't come and plead their case. Paul and Barnabas said simply this, look and see. And all the multitude said they kept silent. They weren't trying to prove anything. They kept their mouth shut. They weren't looking to criticize. They just kept their mouth shut and they just looked. And they saw the wonders of God. And that's when after that they said, what you're doing, keep on doing it. And that's when they came up with a decree that, no, you don't need to become Jewish to become Christian. You don't need to be circumcised. That's the whole story in Acts chapter 15, the first ecumenical council of the church, Council of Jerusalem. Why? Because they stopped talking and they listened and they could see God's work in front of them. Maybe we need to take a page from that book. Maybe we need to stop complaining that we're not getting what we want and complaining that we don't hear. Maybe we need to open our eyes and see. And maybe if we opened our eyes, we would see God working and God working and God working. And yes, maybe not exactly what you wanted in the way that you wanted and how that you wanted, but look around. You tell me God hasn't taken care of you? Tell me God hasn't given you everything that you need? Maybe not everything that you want. Tell me God has given you everything that you need. You tell me that his love, his grace. You tell me that you come stand here before the altar. You see bread become body, and it come for you for no other reason than you. When was the last time you came? Like I said, amazed. Something personal. These days in my life, I feel the hand of God working more than I ever have before in ways that I can't describe. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I don't mess up. I'm not saying everything in my life is exactly the way I want it. But what I'm saying is that day after day, God does not cease to astonish me at the way he is working in some of the smallest, most minuscule things God is working. Do you think God just started working in my life recently? Or maybe I just started looking for it. Maybe I just started trying to find it. My greatest fear is to lose the ability to see his hand. My greatest fear is to lose the ability to see the hand of God working. And I promise you, not a day goes by that the hand of God isn't working mightily and powerfully in your life. The Bible says the angels up in heaven praise God. And they praise him saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Heaven is full of your glory." Oh, wait a minute. Is that what they say? Heaven is full of your glory. Is that what they say? Heaven and earth is full of your glory. We live on earth, and every single day, in the day that goes by, that your day isn't full of God's glory and full of God's amazingness and astonishingness. There isn't a day that goes by that isn't full of God's glory. But there are many days that go by that you don't see it. My challenge to you is to look for it. Begin, tell you the easy way, you begin by thanking God. That's like I was saying in Thanksgiving prayer. For he has covered us, helped us, guarded us, accepted us unto him, spared us, supported us. And how many times God has answered a big prayer, has brought us to this hour? How many times God has brought us to this hour? Start by thanking God and being more thankful for God. And I promise you, you open your eyes and you look around and you will see God's hand. I maybe can't see it clearly in the picture. Can you see in the top right corner? Can you see it? That's your day. You can see that? That's your day. Maybe you missed it at the beginning. Maybe the resolution, but that's your day right there. The stuff is going on, the majesty of God, and there it is, the hand of God, right? But you may not see it. Doesn't mean it's not there. Every single day is full of God's glory, and I want to be like the group that ends every day and says, "God, you're amazing." Astonished and marveled at the work of God. May God give us the ability to see his glory on earth, okay? To see his hand working on earth and not have to wait till we get to heaven to see it. Glory be to God forever. Amen.